Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Corey Allen, alongside my wife, Pam. Each and every week, we have conversations that are aimed at helping increase and enhance the connection and the depth and the energy and the power and the conversations surrounding our married lives, our sex lives, and then even the actions that go along with it. Mm-hmm. And today's kind of fun because we're getting some extra voices as we talk about just some of the aspects of how do you go from married life to intimacy and sex and initiation, asking, making moves across the board.
Yeah, well, it's a great one. You guys touch on, you'll introduce who the guests are, but lots of it goes back to just the cores and the basic discussions that we've had a lot of times. But a new perspective with a couple other counselors on here, both female, that are both dynamic ladies, mm-hmm. and give their own unique perspective too. So I think they're going to enjoy the show.
I think so too. And one of the ways you can enjoy other things that we got going on here is you can check out the starter packs. These are episodes that are organized by topic or popularity. And you can find those at smr.fm/starter. And you can also enjoy all the other resources and things that we've created over the years. smr.fm. There's courses. There's a way, if you're new to the Sexy Marriage Radio, welcome. So glad you found us. But there's a ton of information available because we've been going for a long time. So that also means there's a lot of other things that have been created that are just aimed at helping everybody get better when it comes to their married life and their sex lives, because, man, it can be trouble sometimes. It's just a natural, normal thing. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that there's help available, we just want to let people know that. And there's also help with one of our sponsors that we have. There's a way that we use with the Paired app. Mm-hmm. We use it to try to maintain a daily touch point for sure, which is really helpful during tax season.
I've appreciated this. Even just the fun little things, like there was a question this week about what is it that you and your spouse could do and without fail never tire of it?
Yeah.
Right? So there's things that you love doing together.
And I was surprised we didn't have the same thing. Although I agree with what you wrote.
And I would agree with what you wrote, but it was something different. And so that's kind of fun because, just add some spice.
Well, one of the fun things about the app that you're alluding to is it creates the opportunity for extra conversations. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're a little more edgy. Sometimes they're a little deeper. I mean, it's across the board and it's daily touch points. It's simple. And it's easy. Every day you get a quiz or a prompt that you can, and you can even do more. You can turn it into a competition for those of you that really do like that little competitive edge. You can definitely add that to your marriage in a fun and helpful way. And so whether you're just a few dates in or you've been together for a long time, the Paired app is a way you can lighten the mood and have fun with your spouse using it every day. So head to paired.com/SMR and you can get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to Paired, paired.com/SMR and sign up today. This is a way you can connect with your spouse every day using Paired because a happier relationship starts here. And it's also worth giving a quick shout out that the registration window is still open for the getaway. So come join us June 13th through the 15th here in the DFW area. You need to reserve your spot because when we fill up, then it turns into a waiting list. So smr.fm/getaway is how you can register, save your spot, and we'll see you in June. So coming up today on the regular version of Sexy Marriage Radio is a conversation I got to have with two fellow licensed marriage and family therapists that have a show together and a Instagram called Decoding Couples. So it's Stacy Sherrill and Rachel Fascio, and they are West Coast MFTs working with couples on just trying to, a lot of the same mission, just helping couples navigate relationships. Mm-hmm. And so this is a conversation, it all started with the idea of, do you ask or do you initiate? And how do you transition from normal everyday life into sex everyday life or married sex?
just
life.
The intimate side of
because it is
of
there
the
is
relationship.
A gap between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a fun dialogue of
it really is a fun dialogue. They bring a lot of energy to the table, so it was enjoyable for me. They brought some good perspectives. I loved it's nice when you have diverse relationships, right? And diverse dynamics.
Yes.
Because all three of you, as each of you married in different relationships, right? Bring your diverse sides. Mm-hmm. Who's high desire, mm-hmm. who's low desire, who has, you know, things that are more recently have bubbled to the surface
right.
rather
right.
than this, years
these
ago.
These ladies were real. I mean, they
totally
talk about
real.
Their personal life pretty freely. Yep.
Yeah. I found it to be a useful tool to remind you of some of the core things that we talk about, mm-hmm. you know, core beliefs that we have. But I love the tidbit about power. I think that's just in the extended version. So just
nice
a teaser
tease
for the power.
Because coming up on the extended version today, which is deeper, longer, and there are no ads, you can subscribe at smr.fm/academy. We continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think the easiest way to label the extended content is what intimacy school would look like, right? Of where do we learn some yeah. of the different aspects of what it takes to be more intimate
mm-hmm.
in a married, committed, long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's coming up right after this. Sexy Marriage Radio is sponsored this week by Babbel, which is a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic way to learn how to interact with another culture, another dynamic, your friends, your neighbors, depending on where you live. I mean, it's likely we are being exposed to people that speak other languages regularly if you're not one yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. They have tips and tools that are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real life situations. That's what I love the most, is you're learning real life situations on how to interact as you meet people.
I appreciate how it opens the door to a new adventure, right? We're expanding our mind, keeping ourselves young, learning another language, and creating an adventure that just adds some spice to life right there.
Well, if you need more confirmation, Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, and all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. So here's the special. It's a limited time offer and deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/SMR. Get 55% off at babbel.com/SMR. That's babbel.com/SMR. Rules and restrictions may apply. It's going to be fun today because not only do, if you're tuning in here as part of the nation, do you get to hear from one licensed marriage and family therapist, you're going to get to hear from three. And so, I mean, what better way to spend the next half hour to an hour of your life than listening to three marriage and family therapists? So, Stacy Sherrell and Rachel Fascio.
Making you sure. Got it.
Yes. Okay. They're joining me today from Decoding Couples. They have a podcast, plus they're also fellow MFTs. In the field and in the trenches with couples and people trying to just navigate this whole world that gets so complicated and sometimes so easy that is marriage. So, ladies, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
And so I'm going to just jump right into the topic because I figured let's just use the time. And so no foreplay. We're just jumping right to the main event.
Straight in.
I was going to say, that's Stacy's like flavor. That's good.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm trying to just keep up with you, with what I'm learning of you two ladies. So,
reading the room.
Okay. So what we come across a lot of times in marriage, because I know you two ladies are married as well, and when it comes to, I have a belief that when you're talking about sex in marriage, you don't have sex by accident. You don't just like all of a sudden accidentally start having sex, like whatever's portrayed in the movies. You don't just fall into bed and, whoa, it went seamlessly.
Correct.
So I'm curious, what are some of the things you keep coming across and seeing and as your viewpoints of how do you transition from normal married life into, as some people would call it, sexy time, if you will?
Oh, go ahead, Stace.
I was going to say, what a loaded question. Just like off the bat, right? Like how do we get to A to B? And I think that is, I just want to start by saying that I don't think that there is an A to B. I think that there's a whole alphabet of how people make that transition. And I think that's really important to note. There's not one way to go from your normal selves to your sexy selves. So I just want to start off by saying
that's
that.
That's good. Yep.
I think I was like, well, I'm thinking very literally, so I need a transition. Like what you just said, I need a transition. And I think a lot of couples, especially when you are married for a long time or together for a long time, you're used to being those roles for each mm-hmm. other. Like you're used to being husband and wife, mom and dad. I need a transition from those roles to me as a human, not what I do for someone else, not what I earn, not where I show up and, you know, the utility of it. I need a transition into a space that where someone doesn't need something from me, you know, where I'm not kind of clocking in for all my roles or my jobs. And that transition, I think, is if that is there, sexy time is much more likely to number one, happen, and number mm-hmm. two, be very enjoyable for everyone.
Okay. Well, that, I like that because I think you're talking about the whole idea of margin, right? That what do I do that I have all the different aspects, so there's margin between the different aspects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. especially as parents too, that's even more important. The expectation mm-hmm. of, yeah, if you are a working parent, to go from being a professional to then being a mom or a dad, a caretaker in any sort, to then just think you can drop it and switch the flip. Majority of us don't work that way. I would say if anything, I work more towards that way than I think most of my female friends, to be honest.
Okay.
Right.
That's
but
fair.
Like that's the range of like what Rachel is saying. Like in my dynamic, I actually have the higher libido, which is not typical when for most couples coming in. If it's a mm-hmm. male-female dynamic, it's a lot of like my husband wants it more, whatever it is. But there's so many different ranges of how it shows up. But I think for most people, having space in those roles, especially parents, is key.
Well, and I think that's a fascinating distinction to recognize the idea of there's a difference on how this process unfolds for a higher desire spouse versus the lower desire spouse. And maybe there's overlap actually, because there is a human component to it. But I mean, I always think of things, if anybody's new to the nation, I think of things in terms of high or lower. Neither are right or wrong. Neither are high ground. they're just different. And they're just points on a continuum, always comparative, right? On whoever you're with, you have a comparison of you will be higher or lower than them. And that's just the way my mind works systemically. And so when you're looking at what does it take, that's probably different for each side of that equation, isn't it?
Yeah, we talk a lot about Emily Nagoski's work with the dual control model mm-hmm. for sex. And so like, what are your breaks? Like what really turns you off when it comes to intimacy and what really accelerates it? And I think that is related to what you both are talking about, higher or lower. There are things that are going to influence that desire and arousal. And there are things that are going to dampen that and be like, that's a hard no for me. And being able to identify that in yourself, number one, because that can be uncomfortable. That can be hard when we're go, go, go in all these roles. We might not be thinking about that, but that's a great place to start. What are the things that get me excited or put me more in the mood, quote unquote? And then how does that affect my desire, especially if I honestly, not even especially, depending on who I am, if I'm the low desire partner, the higher desire, those breaks and those accelerators are going to be a really important thing to identify and then talk to your partner about.
Exactly. Give them the roadmap, in essence, right?
Yes.
Give them a little help. Clue them in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Stacey, are you hearing anything as far as, because I love the fascination of the even the two of you are coming at this different.
Yeah, I mean, I think the second part of what Rachel said is really important. Like you have to identify it and then you have to talk about it. And I think that that is where we see a lot of couples show up, you know, in our offices that haven't even had a lot of these basic conversations. You have a partner who's trying to initiate when maybe, you know, their partner had a very high stress day at work. And if you have the conversations that like, when work is stressful for me, I can't switch the flip as easy, right? Like basic information, then you as a partner know that you're probably just not going to be getting right into it that night if the kids go, you know, after dinner when the kids go to bed. It's like you have to know your partner in order to, I think, increase your success rate of converting into sexy time.
Of completion.
Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, it is a process, and some people, typically the higher desire, it seems, has a little bit more of, for lack of a better phrase, a scorecard mentality does this culminate in a success, or does it come to a fruition in completion of what I was hoping for and shooting at? Mm-hmm.
Let me ask a question then. Do you think the higher desire partner is more sensitive to rejection if they're the one scorecarding and maybe the one initiating more? Like, is that a thing for that part? Because that's, I don't know if that's me, but it just made me think of that kind of back to you guys.
Yeah. I think personally, that the higher desire, just because the fact that they are the higher desire for sexual frequency. And again, this is where it gets nuanced, because I could be the higher desire for sexual frequency, but the lower desire for sexual intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so or erotic or novel or insert topic here. And so that's where it gets really, really nuanced, which is, again, same kind of process that Emily Nagowski has of understanding how are you wired? What makes you work and tick? So I think the higher desire, just because of who they are in the continuum, a majority of the responsibility of initiating it falls on their shoulders.
And so they'll be more sensitive to if they're rejected.
I think that just comes. I try to work with clients to make them realize whoever the higher desire is, it just comes with the territory. That you're going to have things that will get accepted or rejected. And that's part of what you have to just face, because you want that more than they do. Because the lower desire spouse gets to have as much sex as they want because they just accept or reject it.
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was like, what are you mulling over there, Stace?
Well, you said something interesting about that the higher desire partner has the response, more of the responsibility to initiate. And I was trying to think of how that settled with me. Like if I feel the responsibility to, or if that's just how it naturally happens. Because I'll say some of our fights around sex, of me being the person who is more of the initiator, is that sometimes me being too much of the initiator is what part of that barrier is. So I'm trying to like, so then is it my responsibility? Because I have found it's actually more my responsibility to back off in some ways, even though then that leads to probably less frequency than what I would prefer. But taking it on to say, well, I want this, so I'm going to initiate and open myself up for rejection, is part of what pushes my partner away. So again, mm-hmm. It's like that nuance of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's more vulnerability with it and probably more initiation. But in my dynamic, that actually is not, it's not my responsibility, because that creates the barrier. That makes sense?
I track you.
Yeah, it creates pressure for your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Mm-hmm. But I would also say, though, the pressure is just inherent, because it's not like it's a shock to your husband, your interest level in sex, right?
Yeah, I don't think that is what is shocking. Yes, I don't think so. Yeah, it's all right. This is where it's so tricky, because there's not a blanket answer of what.
No, absolutely not.
Right. Yeah. Of what would be considered right or wrong, or what works for you. But I do think, yeah, understanding, I guess, that of your partner of is a break, going back to Emily Nagowski, right? Like, is a break to, you know, being intimate with one another, is it the person with the higher desire consistently initiating? Because we see that also. So understanding the role of initiation is important.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a nuance in that, in the initiation aspect too, right?
Yes.
Because what I find with a lot of different clients and over the history of Sexy Marriage Radio is the higher desire gets tired of seeking or asking, because of said rejection, because of how much effort. I mean, and again, I think the nuance becomes, how do you get better at being able to just clarify, right? Like a wife that's the lower desire, let's say, for example, and the husband brings it up and she can look at him square in the eye. Well, how much energy do you have to get me interested?
Yes.
Right. And
yes.
Maybe then he's like, I got all you need. Let's roll. Or maybe he's like, it's been a rough day. How about we table that for later? That's a better way to deal with it, which is not, it's still rejection, but it's not the no. Right. So it's, the nuance matters, because too often I find the higher desire does the devil's pact, is what I came across this phraseology from Dr. Schnarch, which is the idea of they stop initiating under the belief that the void will be filled in with their lower desires, squashed desire, because my higher desire is squashing theirs, when in reality, the lower desire gets two or three days of, this is fantastic. And then after three or four days, they're like, oh, I know they still want it. And they're feeling the pressure, even though they've done nothing to overtly initiate it. But yet the dynamic just gets further ingrained. And that's why I love the framework, because I want people, our message with Sexy Marriage Radio lately has been, be a better higher or lower desire. That's the whole goal. Whatever role you play on that continuum, just be better, whatever that looks like for you.
I like what you said earlier just now about if the higher desire partner is initiating and maybe the lower desire partner is like, okay, but can you get me there? And the higher desire partner is like, challenge accepted. You're reminding, you know, the audience that there's play there, there's movement there, there's energy there. It's not just, hey, let's kind of snuggle after the kids go to sleep. And then your other partner needs to match you there and be there. I think that's such an important thing, that you don't, just because a partner is bringing something up doesn't mean you are expected to meet them at their level. It is consensual in all the ways, but there's so much opportunity to play as long as everyone's willing. And that can get your arousal up. That can get your desire up. And I don't know many things are more exciting than someone, you know, me saying, oh, I don't know. My partner's like, come on, let me maybe get you there. Like, I'm my ears are perked up. Like, I'm a little more interested in this conversation.
Makes me think of the foreplay starts outside of the bedroom quote that we like to talk about, right? It's not just what you do in that moment. It's how you're laying the groundwork, how you know your partner, how you're wooing them. It's not just transactional for the most part. There's that emotional intimacy and that, that play with it to get you where you want to be.
Absolutely. Is that are you referring to Esther Perel's foreplay starts after orgasm? Because you're just setting up the next one whenever it is?
I don't think I've ever heard that, but we love our girl Esther.
We love it. We always say foreplay started yesterday.
Well, that works too. I mean, it's a language. We use the terminology of sex as a language. And how do I make it to where I'm a good linguist all the way through in my marriage? And there's all the facets of it that are going on that you can see it as, you know, as a higher desire in my marriage. I look at it as the move I make with Pam. I don't know when it may actually culminate. And sometimes I have a little bit more of a clock on. I really hope it does sooner rather than later. But a lot of times I've tried to get my mindset of, okay, I just want to keep that there, because then it raises the floor, if you will, in some instances. And then it also makes it to where it's just a little bit easier to transition, because I'm married to a woman like you're describing, Rachel, that I can guarantee you, as we're recording this right now, it's not on her mind.
We got to ask Pam. Get Pam in here.
I wish I could, but it's tax season's getting to ramp up.
Oh, yeah.
I know full well. Foreplay and tax season is me sending her an Excel spreadsheet of some sort, you know.
I got to talk to Pam. I was going to say, that's like Rachel's foreplay, too. I'm getting a little excited.
Oh, well, there you go. But it's recognizing that, okay, I know who I'm with. And so how do I orient accordingly, rather than why can't you be fill in the blank, which I think that's where a lot of higher desires get caught up in. I'm shooting myself in the foot because I'm not addressing the spouse I have. I'm addressing the spouse I wish I had.
I don't know that a lot of men think that way, though, Corey. If I'm going to be, you know, a little bit of a straight shooter, I would love that message. And I don't want to make it just dichotomous or binary in that way, but I think quite you said something so important that just because maybe I have a time frame or I am aware of how long it's been, that's not my mindset. I'm aware of it, but I'm open because I'm trying to be that better partner, the better high desire partner, and just see, you know, how I can exude that energy and what happens. I don't know that a lot of maybe the listeners are in the same mindset. It would be great for all of us to be there, but I think it tends to not be, well, it's been 4 days. Well, it's been, and that's the messaging that gets translated to the partner. And spoiler alert, that don't do it for me personally.
Now, the meter running and having a meter made, if you will, to check the meter, that is not a sexy thing at all. No.
So what you're saying is you best base your expectations off of your partner, not just what your sex drive is.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Because of the higher desire, I know I'm setting a stage that I'm pursuing something I'm interested in more than she's going to. And that's just the reality, just because it's not on her radar.
Yeah. Like,
Over 30 years with the woman, it's easier to get it on her radar.
You know what works.
I have figured out. And part of that is, and this is the nuance too, that I think of this. And Stacey, see if this is kind of what you were alluding to earlier when it comes to the way you might pursue something could actually become a roadblock. Part of the nuance I have figured out with me is I know the ways that I can increase the likelihood. But to get it to where I increase being wanted by her, that then comes down to my character, my strength, my integrity, my consistency of who I am as more than just a sexual being, also her husband, right? And so that's where marriage gets so, in my mind, complicated in some ways, because like you were describing, you know, the very first co-host I had, a lady named Gina Paris, that was with me for the first 2 years of Sexy Marriage Radio, she clued me into this framework. Her and her husband had a banter that, like, they started implementing it at the most inopportune times just to keep the lightness. Like, one of them would be plunging a stop toilet, and the other would walk by, and they're like, are you coming on to me? You know, and it's just kind of a playful, no, that's not what I'm doing, but that's kind of funny, you know. And then, but it adds an injection in that moment, which I think then blends into the other areas of our life and our sex life a whole lot easier.
Yeah. I think what you're hitting on is really important. The day-to-day, like what you said, the character of who you are, how you're showing up as a partner, as a husband, as just a friend and a person is going to directly influence the quality of your sex life and the actual physical intimacy that happens and what you're willing to try and what you're willing to laugh about and what you're, you know, maybe more expressive of what you're not going to do versus just checking boxes to hopefully get some time together in the bedroom. And we all see and know that for the health of a long-term relationship, you want the former. You want the fun, play, adventurous, connected sex life, not just we had sex 3 times a week, so our relationship is fine, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No.
I was going to say, Stace knows my husband and I too well, like more than, you know, she should. I don't mean that. You could know us more. And
I could tell you stories, Corey.
Yeah, you could tell
us. We'll do that in the extended. How
I was
going
to say,
there's a little tease.
And then, Stacey, I'm going to need you to sign a little NDA before we do that. That would be great. But what we're kind of talking about, and Stace can vouch for this, a lot of times the banter my husband and I have is very competitive, and it, like, we bicker and it's like a game. And I got to tell you, that is our foreplay. Like, there is something about, I'm a very witty person. And when my husband can give it back to me in that way, it doesn't matter who's around. We are known for also confusing people, maybe even making them a little uncomfortable. Stacey's nodding her head, but there's something about that back and forth cat and mouse dynamic with me and him that when we're doing that while we're doing life together, the chances of us being intimate are much, much higher.
Because he's being felt in those moments when he stands up, in a sense, to you and in front of you. That's a whole lot of, hey, bring it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. And I'm like, oh my gosh, absolutely. Like, I never get challenged and now you're challenging me. And then what's really great is then the safety is still reiterated when he shows up for me as like a husband or a partner or does whatever I asked him to do earlier. And then I do something that he like, it, all those boxes are getting checked too. So we're getting the tension, we're getting the playfulness, we're getting the bantering. And then he's still, you know, being this solid partner. I mean, the likelihood goes out the window that we're probably going to be intimate later that day.
I hope he tunes in.
Oh no, this is it. Yeah. He will do. Yeah. Do not listen too closely.
Okay. So, last question, just before we kind of wind down this segment, because we kind of have hinted around with this dynamic, and I'm curious, when you look at this dynamic with the couples that you work with or in your own lives, so however you want to take this, when you're talking about wanting to instigate something sexual, because we've kind of established it, it takes some intention, it takes some actual action to make it happen, ask about it. Or just make a move? Which is the better in your mind?
I'm like, I know if you directly ask Rachel if she wants to have sex, she will say no. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to answer for her.
Thank you.
Hers is just make a move.
Okay.
And I would say mine would be either.
but I guess, depending on the minute.
Well, depending on the minute
That's
and depending
fair.
On the phase of life, right? Like we have a kid who's a little over one. So that first year of life is hard.
Yes.
Does it make more sense to schedule sex in those times? Sure. Is that counterintuitive for a lot of people?
Yep.
But it also would maybe prepare me to like get my head in the game or, you know, like
it gives you an on-ramp, if you will.
Set your day up. Yeah. Are there other times of life though that like, I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but you could just say, hey, like, let's go, where you get the look and you can go. Absolutely. I don't know that it's fixed. And again, I think that is considering, like with couples in the office, you got to consider what's going on in their lives, what the personal breaks are, all of that. But I think it goes either way. Like, you're going to know real quick if it's not going to work for your person. So listen to how they respond.
I kind of land in the same, for the most part. I think when somebody's the higher desire predominantly, like there's a pretty good discrepancy between the higher and lower. I'm not in favor of asking, because anytime you give a lower desire a yes or no question, they're kind of defaulted to no. And sometimes that answer is that's where they are right then. Right. One thing that changed for Pam and I was she started challenging herself to not just have it as a no, but instead it became a not right now, but I could be later. And then that turns into challenge accepted. You know, I'll see what I can make happen there. I'm good with that. But then the more and more I recognize, the more and more I'm an advocate of get to the rejection quickly, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. Don't dance around and wonder. Just put it out there and not bluntly, blatantly. I mean, sometimes that's a good move, but you kind of have to read the room on that one. You know, leaving church, that's not a good move. Target, not a good move. You know, but it's recognizing how do I just make the move, initiate something, and see what the response is. Because again, this in my experience, it becomes it may be a no then, but it could come around sooner the next time.
I agree with all these answers. I think my like footnote or little qualifier would be, don't outright ask. It's not a Wendy's drive-through, right? Like we're not on an on-off switch. And
you don't want the smaller large. Do you want to upsize that small large?
Do you want to supersize
none of
this?
That goes good with sexual context. No.
No, it does not. And I would love to see, you know, if we're not going to go for that direct way, we could go a little just one step under and then go, well, then how can we connect? How we can spend some time together? Because it kind of goes back to what you're saying, Corey. Maybe that will be a yes later. Maybe that's open because I am communicating then to my partner that it's not just about the act. I'm also thinking of you as my partner, these experiences, our feelings, this process. So, you know, if you're straightforward, if you're the higher desire partner and you got that kind of trigger finger of like, do you want to do it? Maybe take a step back. And if you don't do that or get a rejection, like, why not? But like, okay, then how can we at least spend time together? Yeah. I think that's going to do a lot more than just a yes or no. Do you want fries with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to go a whole different route, I think you ladies will appreciate this, and then I'm going to throw it to you to tell everybody how they can find about you. But when I was first introduced to this concept, I wasn't even aware what I was being introduced to, because I was in youth ministry when I first came out of undergrad. So here I am, like a 22-year-old youth minister, newly married, and I got a bunch of my parents up at the church. We're getting set up for an event, and one of the ladies loved this couple, one of the parents of one of the kids in the middle school. She goes, "Hey, Corey, what time is it?" And I'm like, "It is 7 o'clock." And she's like, "Oh, got to go." And I'm like, "Okay." And she just immediately starts leaving. I'm like, "What's up?" She said, "My husband said sex was happening at the house at 7. If I wanted to be there, I better be on time." And I'm like,
"Oh, my God.
Oh, I love that phraseology and the energy of that." And it's just like that worked for them. But it's also like, you know what? Look, I'm interested in something like this. I'd love for you to join me. And let's see where it goes.
And she was excited to go home.
And she was. Absolutely was. It was totally a win. And here we are, awesome. You know what, 25, 6 years later talking about it still. And it's such, because I think it, like we opened the conversation with, it's so unique to each individual and couple.
Correct.
And it's finding your own language of what works. And then fine-tuning it, right, and getting better at it, and then adjusting, reading the room, because your spouse changes, you know. All of a sudden now, yes. It's like, wait, you're not the same wife I married 30 years ago. You're a different person in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
tell people how they can find you, because this has been a lot of fun for me.
It's been fun for us too. So we also have a podcast, the Decoding Couples Podcast. You can stream that wherever you listen to your podcasts. And then we are mostly active on Instagram. So Decoding_couples, lots of tips and tricks and us sharing probably too much of our personal stories and dancing on reels. That's where we're most active and where most of our community is.
Perfect. Well, ladies, thank you so much, and all the best on the work that you do. And thank you for speaking into the world of marriage and relationships, because it's so, so vital.
It is. Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
It's so much fun to have like-minded professionals on the show with me, mm-hmm. and get that extra flair when they come in, and they're real people too. They're mm-hmm. not just, oh, I'm just professional and I just talk shop.
Yeah.
But they also share, here's my life.
Here's reality.
And here's the struggles we have, and here's what's going on. And what stood out to me between Stacy and Rachel is the fact that they have such a relationship, that they know each other, that they could almost speak for themselves because they got the history and they're good friends, and they could speak for each other. And like, well, here's what I'm seeing in you. Oh, well, do tell. I mean, those things stood out to me.
Isn't it nice when you have that and you're open to hear what someone else sees?
Absolutely.
Because we don't always see the forest for the trees in our own lives, right?
Absolutely. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, we're counting on you to let us know. 214-702-9565 or feedback@sexymarriageradio.com is the way you can send us an email of questions that you want us to go deeper, explore. Or if you want to add your voice to this conversation, we'd love to hear it. Transcripts are available on each of the episode's pages. And there's also advertisers' deals and discount codes you can find on all of the episode's pages at smr.fm. So please consider supporting those who help support the show. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us today, thanks. And we'll see you next time.